Have you made room for Jesus? You know, God chose Bethlehem as the place of Jesus' birth. Have you chosen Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life? Have you given your heart to Jesus? God has a plan for each one of us. And that plan is for us to know Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And then to love others. His plan is to bring us to eternal life. Jesus prayed in John 17, chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. God the Father has given us all the Word of God to lead us to Christ and for us to know our need for Him. God, through the prophet Micah, named the place where Jesus was to be born 700 years before He was born there. After 700 years, there were many things that had happened, that there was little chance that one from the line of David could be born in Bethlehem. People were scattered. There was one family in the line of David that lived in Nazareth. Yet Bethlehem was to be the place where He was to be born, where the Son of God would be born. When the wise men asked where Christ was to be born, they were told Bethlehem, because that is where Micah prophesied it would be. In fact, God had promised His Son's birth from eternity, before the foundation of the world. The prophet Isaiah also foretold of Jesus' coming. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Behold, a virgin will be with child, and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." In Isaiah 9, 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a child is given." When Isaiah wrote unto us, he had Israel in mind. Although Israel did not receive Jesus when He was born, when He came to them, they did not receive Him. We know today that Jesus came for everyone, as it says in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And as it says in John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." God promises us that we will have everlasting life with Him as children of God if we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Isaiah 9:6, it also says a son is given, not born, because this speaks of His deity. God the child, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. God the Son was from eternity. As far back as you can go in eternity began, before us, before the creation of the world, God the Son was there. Christ the Son is the very Word of God, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then Jesus became man in John chapter 1, verse 14, which says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When God was manifested in the flesh, born at Bethlehem, He got something He never had before. He got the name Jesus, which means Savior. That was his human name. Isaiah 7:14 says, "She will call his name Emmanuel." This little section is so very important for us to understand. Emmanuel means God with us. The Word of God became Jesus, God with us. His name was to be Jesus, which means Savior. He can't be Jesus unless he is Emmanuel, God with us. And he can't be our Savior unless he is God. And he must be man to take our place on the cross. Jesus is God with us. He died for us on that cross. He did not die because of his sins. He died because of our sins. 700 years before Jesus was born, Micah had prophesied about Jesus' birth. God made it happen. It was God's plan for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. In Luke 2:7, it says there was no room or place for them in the inn. In the Amplified Bible, it says there was no room or place. There was no place for them. God could have chosen anywhere for his son to be born, but he chose a stable for him to be born in. What confidence Mary must have had. What an experience. Can you imagine to have your very firstborn baby with no help, born in a stable at a very young age? Because as we know, Mary was not very old. She was still probably, by our standards, still a child. But in Luke 2:7, it says there was no place or room for them in the inn. It is so very important that you make a place for Jesus in your heart. And make time for Jesus. You know, I can be here today and I can preach the very gospel to you, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. And today is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I can say that to you. But as Paul says in the book of Corinthians, one plants, one waters, but the Holy Spirit brings the harvest. Only the Holy Spirit today can make that real to you, can make Jesus real. Just like it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but everlasting life." Only the Holy Spirit can make that real. I can ask you where you're at or who God is to you. You can have a head knowledge that God is real, but that's not what God wants. He wants you to believe in your head, in your heart, and be your very soul in Christ as a Son of God. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we praise God for that work when it comes real in each one of you, where you really know who Jesus is to you, that he is the Almighty, he is the mighty God, he is the Son of God. We grow in God's grace when we are alone with him. It is then that he does speak to us, whether it's through the word or through others or whatever the case might be, through prayer. Jesus said in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Today you think, "Well, I'd like to memorize scripture. I could be in Christ that way." I could do this or do that. What being in Christ is obeying the Word of God, obeying Christ. We need to obey Him. As it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. When we are really in Christ, we are new. A very new creature, a new creation. Of God tells us. In the Amplified Bible, it says, if a person really loves me, do you really love Jesus? Do you have time for him? Have you made a place for him in your heart? We need to have a loving relationship with God the Father and a relationship with God the Son, Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. And that's why earlier, as I quoted John 17:3, that's what God says, what Jesus says is eternal life. When he says, this is eternal life, that you might know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. God wants us to have a loving, personal relationship with the Father and with the Son. That's eternal life. It is so important to love Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, this is what it says. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. This curse goes back to the book of Genesis, when sin separated us from God. If anyone does not love Jesus, he is to be accursed. It is a strong word of God. But that is how much God means, how much God the Son means to the Father, and that he had him die for us. Jesus gave us the great commission in Matthew 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He didn't just say mind. He didn't just say heart. He said all three. We're to love him with our entire being. It is so very important for us to do that. When we really believe in Jesus, we will love him. Jesus died for us. He died so that we would not be separated from God for eternity in hell. When we really believe that Jesus died for us, we will really love him. We'll love him with our heart and with our soul. Suppose you were to come before Almighty God today. He was to stand here, the God of heaven. And he would ask you, what right do you have to go into my heaven? What would you say? I pray that you would say that you love him and that you love the Lord Jesus. Oh, I know he would know what your thoughts are before you do. But that is what we need to say. Because God knows our thoughts before we do. No one else can answer that question. No one can answer that question for you. Only you can. You have to answer that for yourself today. To know intimately the Father and the Son. Today we spend time on hobbies, our families, and personal interests. But are we really making Jesus a priority in our lives? Our hobbies, our families, and personal interests can become idols when they take the place of Christ, who is to be first in our lives. Is Jesus first in your life? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? He wants to live in us and through us. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, such a powerful verse. It says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? When we know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And just as when we love him, love Jesus, he makes his home with us, and so does the Father. Oh, for us to realize in the magnitude of those two verses, Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit want to live with us. It says in Colossians 1:27 about a mystery. It says, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is a mystery, isn't it? That Christ can live in us? Yes, it is. When we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Christ, the Son of God, live in our hearts. Christ, God the Son, wants us to put him first in our lives. The grace of God the Father has brought salvation to all who believe in his Son, Jesus. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he planned beforehand that we should walk in them. God the Father planned our works before the foundation of the world. That's how significant we are to him. That's how much he knows and loves us. We are not to receive the grace of God in vain. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:1. We're to believe in Christ and grow in his grace. Not just receive him, but continue to grow. We need to be praying to him. We need to be in his word. We need to be let him shower us with his blessings. God loves us. He sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us. He does not want anyone to die and be separated from him for all of eternity in the lake of fire. Jesus has defeated death. He's paid the price for our sins that we could not pay. And with his resurrection, he has made us right before God. And God gives us peace through our faith in Jesus. As it says in Romans chapter 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is so precious. We have peace with our Almighty God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus loves you. And his desire is that you have an eternal relationship with him. When do we begin that relationship? When do we start to put effort into that? And to be in his word and just see the glorious promises in his word that he has for us. There is nothing that Christ cannot do and cannot relate to in your life. Nothing. He knows when you're hurt. He knows whether your hurt is for yourself, for your family, for your children, your brothers or sisters, your parents, neighbors, co-workers, or people you just come in contact with. He knows everything about you. Everything. He knows what you have in your heart. He knows it better than you do. We hurt because we carry all of our burdens and have not given them to Christ. As that wonderful song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, says. We're not to hold on to those things. We're to give it to him. We're to give all of them to him. All of our concerns, all of our thoughts, all of our anxieties. That wonderful verse in Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What does that say? We're not to worry about anything, but we're to pray about everything. We're to give him everything, everything, and not to hold on to it. God loves you. There is nothing that God can't do. The amazing thing is that God does forgive. God's forgiveness is for everyone. We just need to ask him for it. It is his promise for each one who comes to him that he forgives us completely. Christ Jesus wants to fill our hearts with joy, with his glory, with his grace, and with his light. That's why we are to be the light of the world, letting the light of Jesus shine from us. We need to open our hearts to Jesus and make a room, our place for him. And the best time for that to begin is today. Open your hearts to him. Father, we thank you, God, for this word today. And we pray, Father, that you would bless it to us. Speak to us, Father. And let us know of your deep love for us. And the deep love that Jesus has for us. And the work of the Holy Spirit in allowing us to know Jesus and you, Father. In your name we pray and thank you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.